How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
Our subject tonight, look at the subject tonight. Beyond discipleship, there is something beyond discipleship. Now, we do a lot of teaching here on the subject of discipleship. Almost every teaching session is something, some discipline that a Christian should learn in following the Lord. That's what discipleship is developing disciplines in following the Lord. So we develop disciplines about our walk, disciplines about our prayer, discipline about studying Scripture, discipline about our marriages, and discipline about how we treat our children, and discipline about how we educate. And we are into discipleship here without a doubt. We don't often use the term, but it's the main function of a teaching ministry. And Jesus came to preach and teach and heal. So he would preach the truth, and then he would explain the truth. He would teach it. We'd do as much as within us that kind of discipling thing. But there is something beyond discipleship. So just take a few notes down. First of all, let's talk about the importance of discipleship first, because if this something is beyond it, that's not to minimize discipleship. There are certain really important, valuable things about discipleship. So let's catch up with some of those. First of all, it's really wonderful to realize that discipleship is a call. Disciples are called. And in this case, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he called them. And so the Lord has put a calling on your life. You heard the Holy Spirit. You responded to his invitation. You started this life of discipleship because the Spirit of God drew you. No man comes unto me, Jesus said, except the Father which sent me draw him. So all this begins, this discipleship begins with a drawing. I love this characteristic of Jesus. He said it this way. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. This he spoke signifying the death he should die. There's three kinds of liftings up of Jesus that draw. Let me tell you what they are. Number one, there's the lifting up on the cross. Number two, there's the lifting up of Jesus from earth back into heaven from whence he came. If I go, prepare a mansion for you. And if I go, I'll also send a comforter. Something wonderful. This great drawing into eternity and into heaven and into everlasting life. The third kind of drawing is what happens when we worship the Lord. As we exalt the Lord and he is lifted up, there is a drawing that takes place in the lives of those who happen to be there. For example, over there in the book of Psalms, it says, that the Lord dwells in the praises of Israel. And that word dwell means sits enthroned. The Lord sits enthroned in the praises. When we get into real praise, where we I don't think we've really ascended to that as we gather here usually. I was reading recently of a Muslim meeting where they praised Allah for 3 solid hours. And in that event, which is quite tragic in one respect, yet admirable that these people believe what they believe so earnestly that they would spend 3 hours praising nonstop. When we get to the place where our adoration of the Lord becomes so important to us as it is important to Him, He promises that He will sit enthroned on those praises. And I tell you that when Jesus is enthroned in a meeting, understand, enthroned, sitting in the proper position in a meeting, and He's put there by praise, that He is then in the place where He can do and will do great miracles among us. So, it starts with a calling. Secondly, disciples are empowered. He called them, and look at this, He gave them power. And this is important. So what could it be beyond discipleship? He gave them power against, number one, unclean spirits, to cast them out. I want to just do take a little short side trip at this moment, because I want to suggest to you that unclean spirits are almost the rule of the day in America now. Didn't used to be this way in America, and I want to tell you why it didn't used to be this way. There have always been unclean spirits. No doubt about that. Demons are neither now created nor die. They live with limitations on this planet, most of them. Some are got more limitations than others, because there's a whole realm of them that are in chains waiting for judgment day to come. See? And I don't want to go into the details of that. Well, the reason there were less unclean spirits in America 50 years ago, let me tell you why. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raised up a standard. 50 years ago, we had higher standards. And the higher standards that the Spirit of God gave us, that we held up, and that the Spirit of God emboldening us to hold those standards, prevented the flood of unclean spirits. See, so the spirits couldn't come in like a flood because a standard was raised. And so what's happened in the last 50 years and it is an erosion of biblical standards, until this America now accepts standards that were once unheard or unthought of to allow in these United States of America. So now we have this flooding in because the standards have been lowered. And we have this condition all around us, unclean spirits, morally unclean, dirty. And we live in that. But here's the good news, that as a disciple, isn't this good news? We've been given power over that. And you can keep it out of your house, and you can keep it out of your life, and you can keep it out of your children, and you can get it out of somebody else if they're willing. You can cast out those unclean spirits. So He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out. And to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And so disciples, these are important because we are called by God, and then we're empowered. And then we are ordained. Now, to be ordained means to be given direction, to be channeled in a direction, to be ordered, if you please. And He ordained the 12. And the directions that He gave them, as He has given us today, are twofold. Number one, that they should be with Him. Isn't that wonderful? God has ordained that we should spend time with Him. And that in turn He would send us forth. So disciples are called, disciples are empowered, and disciples are ordained. And then this is wonderful, because disciples are taught by the Lord. Disciples came into Him, and He opened His mouth, and He taught them, saying, and then He goes on with the scriptures, go on with the explanation. But isn't this wonderful, that that's what Jesus does with all of His followers? He teaches them. on every subject that's necessary to divine and human affairs. So disciples are taught by the Lord. Now, here's another scripture. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, because we're taught by the word. We'll know the truth, and this truth that comes from where? This truth that comes from the word will make you free. So we live unhindered. Disciples live free. Disciples live free because they continue in the word of God. They're taught by Jesus himself. So disciples are taught by the Lord. And then disciples understand mysteries. And this is really wonderful benefit of being a disciple or follower of the Lord, is you get to understand the mysteries. And there are a number of mysteries in the scripture. In fact, it would behoove us one day or several days to spend time teaching on the mysteries that are unlocked to us in scripture. But disciples came and they said unto Jesus, why do you talk to them in parables? Why do you use the stories and analogies and parabolic lessons to communicate? And he answered and said unto them, now watch this, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So disciples are given insights to the mysteries that the average person, be he reader of the Bible or otherwise, would not get. Disciples, those who are committed, disciplined followers of the Lord, get to understand the mysteries that are in the scripture. And this is so, look how important it is to be a disciple, but there's something beyond discipleship. And then disciples, as you follow the Lord in a disciplined fashion, you become like him. The key to being like Christ is to develop disciplines that make us like him. So look at this. The disciple is not above his master, neither is the servant above his Lord. Now watch this. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. So what happens that as a disciple, as if you are, as I trust all of you are disciplined followers of the Lord, that as you do that, we are being transformed from glory to glory and into his likeness. So that when people look at you and I, we should more resemble the Lord today than we did last year. And we're in this process because this likeness of our Lord is the byproduct of the disciplined following of the Lord's instruction, as we have seen the benefits already of being a disciple. They become like their Lord. And then the disciples know the instructions from Christ. This is really important. We use the word commands, instructions, same thing. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things about this. There is an end to the commandments. You don't have to learn the commands forever. They are an established block of instructions from Jesus, and you don't have to learn them the rest of your life if you learn them once. Jesus made an end of commanding his 12. I've given all the commands you need to do, go do these. And this is kind of wonderful. In our discipleship, in our learning, it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, and we add to it, and we start getting these commandments, and we get them, and we don't have to, and all we've got to do is go into a maintenance program now. We've got to just keep those 49 commandments the rest of our lives. But there's an end to getting the commandments. And disciples know those 49 commands of Christ that we started a couple of months ago. And by the way, it would behoove me to say a couple things about that. I don't know about you, where you're at on it, but I got to the end of book two, and I didn't start into three yet, and I should have started three. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to let everybody use the month of July to catch up to the end of book two, which just gives us 14 commandments, and then in August we'll pick up book three and start into the next seven commands of Christ, okay? So the disciples know the commands of Christ. And then, isn't this delightful, that having known the commands of Christ, he allows us with him to participate in the ministry. After we get the commands together, then you can enter the ministry. He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. So he went to the city of Matthew and the city of Luke and the city of John. And they got to participate in the ministry because they got the commands all figured out. And so disciples get to participate in the ministry. And then disciples are family. His mother and his unbelieving brothers, you understand that Jesus had other brothers and sisters, and they were not believers in Jesus. In fact, James wasn't until after the resurrection that James became a believer. James, the brother of Jesus, in fact, was embarrassed about Jesus. And he went different places and told him, hey, my brother's coming to your town to preach and he's crazy. He thinks he's God. And he went ahead of Jesus. When he found out the preaching schedule, he would go ahead and get there first and do a disclaimer. He openly resisted everything his brother Jesus was doing. And that's why, after the resurrection, Jesus said, make sure you tell James. His brother James, after the resurrection, became such a believer that he became the James talked about in Scripture, who was the presiding officer, elder, at the Church of Jerusalem. It was James, the brother of Jesus, that after he was converted, in fact, died a martyr's death. But on this one occasion, Jesus was in the building, and James and Mary and some of their others showed up, and they couldn't get in because of the press. There was so many press secretaries taking notes and reporters from, they couldn't get to him, and so they got a messenger through, and they said to Jesus, your mother and your brother are outside. And Jesus made a shocking statement. Here's what it was. He stretched forth his hands toward his disciples, and he said, behold, this is my mother and my brother. You can have a brother or sister that's not very close. The closest people to us are the fellow followers of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's who our brothers and sisters are. Now, let me explain that just a little bit further. You've heard the term, blood is thicker than water. Right? And in the book of 1 John, it says, except you be born of water and blood. Now, I want to tell you the difference between being born of water and being born of blood. The born of water refers to the human birthing, when a woman's water breaks. She's going to bring a child and deliver. But born of blood is a different issue. It has to do with covenant. And as true blood is thicker than water, watch this now, that if you have a covenant brother in the Lord, and you have, and who's not the son of your mother or of your father, you have a blood connection with him that is stronger than the water connection you have with what's called a blood brother, but he's not really. He's born of the same mother, born of water. Do you follow that? And Jesus is making this astounding statement of disciples. He puts every disciple in a category that is superior to human relationship. Be it husband, wife, father, mother, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, or otherwise. Behold, he points to the disciples. This is my mother, and this is my brother. Now, how much more wonderful can it be, except that your mother is a follower and as well, amen? And your father, and your sons, and your daughters. And you got both things working for you. But the primary one. Notice that the disciples are the real family. They are the real family. And then, lastly, the disciples, what could be beyond discipleship? All of these things we've talked about are so wonderful. And we get to serve. And I've always said this, that one of the greatest privileges in the whole universe is to serve God, is to know God, serve Him. My, what could be better? But when you're a disciple, we get to function executively on behalf of Jesus. If you give a cup of water in my name, right? So here is a situation where the people are hungry, so Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it, gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. And they served. Now, Jesus is the one serving the food, but they participated in the service. We get to serve. We get to be the visible image of the invisible God. We get to be his hands and his feet and his lips. We serve him. And we serve others. We serve him by serving others, by bringing to others what he wants to come to them. So you can tell from these 10 things that discipleship is really important. It's big time stuff. What I want to conclude with, though, is what I consider a very remarkable scripture. And it is the answer to what is beyond discipleship. And I want to tell you what it is. Remember, disciples called. Disciples, they're empowered. And disciples are taught of the Lord. Can you imagine that? They are ordained. The disciples get to know, we get to know the mysteries. Wow. All the things that we've mentioned. We're the family. We get to be in the ministry. We get to function on his behalf, and we get to serve. But there is something beyond that. And I want you to grasp. I'm going to have to give it to you in one sentence. I wish I could break it to you easily, but I can't. So I'm going to let the scripture speak for itself. There's something beyond discipleship. And here it is. It's friendship with Jesus. Henceforth, I call you not servants. Look at this now. But Jesus says, but I have called you friends. All the aspects of discipleship are so wonderful. But you can learn the disciplines and walk and learn the mysteries. But there's something beyond that that is critically important. And so Jesus comes to these disciples who've been walking with him for years. Everywhere he's gone, they've gone. Everything they have taught, he has taught, they have heard. Everything he's commanded them to do, they have done. And he looks at him one day and he says, from now on, I'm not going to refer you to you as my servants, but I call you my friends. And somehow tonight, my wish for you, because we teach a lot, we cover a lot of ground, we talk about a lot of disciplines, we go through the Word. But beyond all that is your personal friendship with Jesus. And Jesus' personal friendship with you. He promised, lo, I am with you always, even unto the consummation of the world. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And that's true. After we've learned all the disciplines and got the commandments down, beyond that, is this warm? Moment by moment, second by second, friendship with Jesus. Now, let me make only a couple of comments about this. It is important to understand the sequence. It's the disciples who get to be the friends. You don't start with the friends and then add some of the disciplines, maybe. He said, from here on, all this time, you've been my disciples and you've been my servants. And now there's this start thing where the friendship really happens. The friendship can't and doesn't happen without the discipleship part. Let me show you that so that you know that I'm not just making a statement on my own. Here is this text, henceforth means from now on. I don't call you my servants anymore. But I've called you my friends. Let's just back up a bit. Here are my friends. If you do whatsoever I commanded you. See, the discipleship thing has to come first. And because you are my disciple, and because you follow the instructions, disciplined way, my commands, then from now on, I'm not going to call you servants. Now, there's another reason here that's kind of important. And I want you to see it. In fact, let's go back to it here. A disciple or a servant knows a lot of stuff, but he doesn't really knows not what the Lord's doing. But henceforth, I'm going to call you friends. And the reason is because everything I've heard of my Father, I may know it unto you. There is stuff that Jesus has to give you, to tell you, to speak to you about, that can only be received in the intimacy of a friendship. And what I really want to end with tonight is how wonderful and how good this news is. Yeah, we got the disciplines, and yes, we learned the commandments, and we understand the mysteries, and we got the power, and we got to deal with unclean spirits. But beyond all that disciplined way, beyond all that, is having Jesus as your friend. And I want to tell you something. He's the best friend a man could ever have. Jesus is the best friend a woman could ever have. Jesus is the best friend a teenager could ever have. And that's what's beyond discipleship. Friendship. Jesus. I want you to leave tonight feeling really good.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.